You're tuned in to the Tuesday edition of Agriculture Today. We're glad to have you aboard. Just about anybody involved in agriculture is keenly interested in the expected direction of the debate over the 2018 Farm Bill. Current Farm Bill legislation expires in September of this year, and so there's been quite a bit of give and take on what the new Farm Bill might look like. And our guest now suggests that we may have learned some quite valuable lessons for input into the new Farm Bill from the 2014 Farm Bill. In fact, she was a part of a team that wrote up an article or two on this topic. Michael Taylor is with us now. She is an agricultural economist, K-State Research and Extension. Now, Michael, you have been very involved in the details of the Farm Bill we have currently and its implementation. And so what inspired you to look at this new question?
Well, we did some survey work when we went out for the 2014 Farm Bill, and we encouraged people to fill out a survey that asked them some questions about what they were going to enroll in, ARC versus PLC. We also asked them some questions about them and their operation, how much crop insurance they took out on what commodities, just trying to get a sense of what was going into their decision-making, because we'd never had a Farm Bill with quite so much flexibility for what people could choose to do, you know, buy crop, just pick between PLC versus ARC. And so we wanted to kind of get a sense of what was driving those decisions.
And when we think back on the commodity title in the 2014 Farm Bill, it introduced these new concepts, ARC and PLC. So there was a bit of an unknown going into that particular bill, right?
Right. So PLC is pretty similar to the old countercyclical payment program, but ARC was new in that it was a revenue-based program looking at county-level yields, and that allowed people to get some revenue coverage versus just straight price protection. So in both cases, the programs had something new to offer. PLC offered the opportunity to enroll in supplemental coverage option, which was a subsidized buy-up on the crop insurance side. So if you were in PLC, you had the option of getting SCO. And so there was lots of choices to be made. There was updating of yields and updating of base acres, just lots of decisions that producers were trying to make. And in the context of, you know, a period of time, this was the winter of 2015 when we were making these decisions. And, you know, there was a lot going on. People, we were making pretty good money, but we were also looking to the future and trying to figure out where our best risk management would be with the different Title I programs.
And in fact, you and the colleagues here at the Agricultural Economics Department at K-State went to great lengths to try to analyze ahead of the game which of those options would work best for individual producers.
Right. We put together some spreadsheets that allowed people to analyze different scenarios, different price scenarios, different yield scenarios. And that's what one of the papers that we worked on with some co-authors from Illinois looked at, was just the use of these tools and how producers, what they liked about the tools, what they didn't, how they liked getting their information. And it was interesting because actually the number one way that they wanted to get their information was through in-person presentations by extension, and then number two was to use these online tools that they could do their individual analysis on. So they wanted a combination of both in-person and web-based delivery, and that was good for us to know because it's going to help us figure out how best to deliver information when it comes to the 2018 Farm Bill and getting it out to as many people as possible.
So the message there, and we might dwell on this a little more, is that the extension's outreach efforts will likely, again, be part of this new Farm Bill.
I think they will, because the economic conditions have changed. Yeah. You know, relative to the winter of 2015, we don't have $7 corn. We don't have high-priced wheat. We are in a situation where, you know, when we were signing up for the 2014 Farm Bill, I had a lot of people tell me, well, this is just gravy. You know, if we get a payment, that's great. If we don't, that's okay too. We'll be fine. That tune has changed dramatically, and now it's, wait, we really need these payments because this is how we're going to pay back our, you know, loans. This is how we're going to make rent payments. So I think there's going to be a lot of intensity with regard to how they want to make these decisions and analyzing them. And that's where extension is going to be really important, is coming in and saying, okay, here's the rules of the game, if they've changed at all from the 2014 Farm Bill, and then just being able to help them sort through what the possible scenarios are going forward, you know, and where their best risk protection will be.
Well, then right to it, what has been learned about the effectiveness of ARC and PLC as a safety net, and more so now that fallen crop prices have changed the game?
Well, what was interesting from the surveys that we did was that the decision-making did seem to be affected by things like crop insurance choice. So, for example, you got that buy-up of SCO if you were in the PLC program. Well, that buy-up would only take you up to 85%. So any farmer that had 80 or 85% coverage already wasn't really interested in PLC and SCO. And so they tended to pick ARC. But one of the things that we are looking at now is that there might be some changes to crop insurance. One of those might be, you know, reducing the subsidy, making it more expensive, or capping the dollars of subsidy that producers can receive. Well, if that's the case, then I could see people shifting more towards the PLC program so that they can do some buy-up of SCO if they get capped on the other side of buying crop insurance. So I see that being a potential outcome. Another thing that we saw was the age of producers affecting which program they were most interested in. The older the producer, the more interested they were in PLC, which is the price support program. And there's a couple possible reasons for that. One might be it was very similar to the old countercyclical payment, and that familiarity drove them to that program. Another might be that, like I said, we had some pretty good years. We were actually at the end of a run of about 6 years of really good prices. But older producers have a much longer horizon that they look back on and say, you know, prices can be really low. I think I want that price support protection. And so I think that that's another possible explanation. Just this, they have a longer horizon and they remember the times when it was really bad, and PLC can be very helpful when prices go low. Now the question is PLC going to be the preferred option just because prices are so low right now, or will there still be some interest in ARC?
You're speaking broadly about ARC and PLC for all crops here. If you break it down crop by crop, did we learn anything specifically on participation?
We learned that there were some pretty considerable differences in which programs people picked, but that had as much to do with what the expected payments were in that first year as it did with anything. So if you were a soybean producer in eastern Kansas, you know, you might be able to look at the expected payout for 2014, which was the first year of the Farm Bill, and say, okay, it looks like I'm going to get a payment or I'm not going to get a payment. And definitely the higher the expected payment in that first year, the more likely you were to pick that program. So for some of the commodities, it was real obvious on that first year, which was interesting because, you know, there's still four more years of the program, right? But I think we took a bird in hand approach and said that's worth something to me, is to just know that I'm going to get at least that first year's payment. It was much harder for producers who weren't expecting a payment in the first year and had to think further out about which direction they wanted to go. That was a tougher decision for them.
Just thinking a little further along that line, with crop prices now low, likely to remain relatively low, certainly vis-a-vis what we saw at the beginning of the 2014 Farm Bill. Will there be more confidence or certainty amongst producers as to which option they pick going into this new Farm Bill?
I think it depends on whether or not they change the PLC target prices. If they lower those target prices, then it's not going to be as obvious that PLC is the right way to go. If they don't lower those, you know, if they keep them the same place they were at in the 2014 Farm Bill, I think that those prices are high enough relative to current prices that most of the commodities, especially wheat, will look to PLC for their coverage. On the ARC side, there's value in having a revenue coverage, but every year that coverage goes down as the prices continue to go down. And so it's like the price support is falling as the prices are falling. And that makes ARC a little less attractive. So if they make some changes to that, to the way that those support prices are in ARC, the way that that's calculated, then that might make ARC look a little more attractive.
And this is the minutia that's being discussed potentially right now. Maybe we're not quite far down the road as far as those particulars, but this will be likely part of the mix as they discuss the makeup of the new Farm Bill, you think?
I think it will. I think there's, you know, there were Art Barnaby likes to point out that there were counties in Iowa that did not receive any payments under ARC. And, you know, a lot of people in Kansas would say, well, what difference does it make? But Iowa's an important political state. And if they didn't get any payments under ARC under these current economic conditions, that's going to make them really, you know, say, hey, we have to fix something here. So you might end up seeing some adjustments to ARC simply because an important political state had some problems with that program.
Yeah. Michael, we'd like to talk more about this. We need to step aside for a few moments. When we return, we'll get into other aspects of the reports that you put together, if you'd stand by.
Yes.
Michael Taylor, agricultural economist with K-State Research and Extension. She co-authored a couple of new papers on Is It Good to Have Options? The 2014 Farm Bill Decisions and the Evaluation of the Educational Offerings for the 14 Farm Bill as fodder for discussion heading into the 2018 Farm Bill deliberations. We'll return with Michael in a moment here on Agriculture Today.